Thank you so much for listening to Urbanistica podcast. I am Mustafa Sharif, an urban planner, and you're more than welcome to join my big journey of exploring the making of smarter and more livable cities. Please don't forget to follow Urbanistica on the different social media platforms, and also let's connect on LinkedIn. Big thanks to Urbanistica podcast partner, AFRI. AFRI is an international engineering and design company providing sustainable solutions in the fields of energy, industry, and infrastructure. Are you ready for a new episode? Let's go for it. Today we have a new episode and we have an amazing storyteller back to the podcast. So hello and welcome, Ramon.
Hello, Mustafa. It's a big pleasure to be back with you. After a bit of time, right?
Yes.
It feels a long ago. A lot of things happened since the last time we spoke.
Yeah. I always love to talk to you because there's always something big happening. So before we get into the placemaking week 2023, tell me, how are you? How was your summer vacation?
I'm very good. Actually, I wish I've had a longer vacation period, but there is a con that comes to organize a festival in September that we do have to work in the summer. So my long vacations will come after placemaking week.
Awesome.
But I'm also looking forward to spend a week in Greece when the rest of the team is back from holidays.
That's awesome. Where are you now, by the way, in which city? Because you travel to so many different cities. So where are you now?
No, I'm talking to you from my hometown, from Valencia today.
That's nice. There were placemaking. This first event started, right?
Absolutely. Actually, this is going to be... I mean, I think I've been in every placemaking week.
Yes.
But as an organizer, this is going to be my third one.
Awesome.
But interestingly enough, the first one in Valencia, I was the host from the city side.
Yeah.
So I was the one working for the municipality of Valencia that was hosting placemaking week and bringing the team to work with us. We actually created it was a joint effort.
Amazing. So. Tell me, placemaking week 2023, where is it?
It's going to happen in Strasbourg. Mm-hmm. And we are actually very much looking forward to get back to the center of Europe.
Yeah.
Strasbourg, as you very well know, it is an interesting city for many reasons. Mm-hmm. One of them, it is a city seated in the boundary between France and Germany. Mm-hmm. Also a couple of countries when we really want to dive deeper because they have their own rhythm and their own projects, and mostly also most of the times also they share that in their own language. But we know and we are learning that there's a lot of interesting placemaking projects and ideas happening, so for us was a strategic to be there in between of Germany and France. Also to try to be in a location that it's slightly easier accessible in train, because last year we went to the most remote place in Europe, which was fantastic.
Yeah,
actually,
it was a big surprise.
Basically, we couldn't have chosen a place that could, well, we could have gone to Madeira or Azores, but next to that, Pontevedra is probably the most remote place.
Yeah.
But next to that, obviously, like we want to go to Strasbourg as always, because we try to find a city that works both to share and learn. And that sounds relatively easy, but actually it's not. It's, you can find many cities that want to just show their best cases, but they are not that eager to bring international expertise and to be honest about their own challenges.
Yeah.
You and I, we've been in many conferences where they are just... one best case after a best case after a best case, and all sounds good, but actually you cannot grasp which are the issues. So you know that we like to create a very honest environment to share. So we want a city that want to share but want to be challenged. And Strasbourg has proven that. It is interesting, but for many reasons. I think they've done a tremendous effort in the last years to improve sustainable mobility. So trams, bikes, also like improving their connection with the riverfront.
Yeah.
There is a university city, a European capital, which is not a capital of a country. So the European Parliament is there, the Council of Europe is there. So it is very international, but also very authentic.
Yes.
In sort of like how anchored in the regional culture it is. And they, we also share that they did develop one of the first eco quartier, eco neighborhoods in Europe. They are undergoing a big transformation of their port area, also trying to bring placemaking in, so compatibilizing industrial activities with cultural activities, bringing creativity in, keeping keeping the local communities with a big effort of placekeeping. And also like the team that is ruling the city, the government, it is really energetic and passionate. They are putting the sustainability in the center of their policies. And I think it was a good match.
That's amazing. That's great to hear. So you have been there, right, before, like to check the city?
Yes. As always, the same that happened with Pontevedra. We went there a couple of times first to check the city and check that. And we did check that their application was reasonable.
Yeah.
And then after we agreed that they were going to be the host, we get back to check venues and content with the municipality and to also to relate with local partner, because we obviously, the same would happen in Pontevedra, there is part of the event that is open to the city.
Yeah.
We want the local placemakers and the local stakeholders to be there. And we want, but we as the network, not only as the organization, not only as a foundation, Placemaking Europe, but our network.
Yeah.
We know, and talking to everyone, we will know that everyone wants to give something back after being in an intense conference during 4 days. So we wanted also to explore which were the local challenges that we are going to address during the conference.
Yeah. And if we talk about who can be visit and be part of this Placemaking Week, is it only for people in Europe? Is it only for people on the network? Is it open to everyone? So if we talk about the people who is going to attend.
Yeah, it is pretty open. So I think we always balance around the 40% on attendees that they are our community, in the sense that they come to our events and they are very connected among themselves. So for a lot of people, I think it is something that is sort of marking the calendar because they are coming to reunite. But we all also have the 60% of people that is coming because they have an interest in terms of knowledge, in terms of learning. And that means that it is, or we pretend to make it a pretty inclusive event. And of around the 500 people that we are hosting, at least 200 of them will be locals, or they will be coming from the region. So hopefully also that will open up for new possibilities of encounters. We were tremendously successful this year with the open call. So we had, I think, 160 applications.
Whoa.
Proposals to participate, and actually if we check that there is a very good distribution around Europe.
That's amazing.
So we are particularly present, as you know, in the Nordics and in the Netherlands particularly, but we have good presence from Italy, Spain, Eastern Europe, and also France, considering that we are in France.
Yeah.
And also, like, we are quite happy about how it is distributed between governments, particularly cities, private and individual practitioners.
Yeah.
We are also observing one thing that we actually will have a session about that, because in Valencia we did, so we've been sort of monitoring in different sessions and with different surveys, which is the evolution of the placemaking as a profession, more than placemaking as a profession, the how professionals are using a placemaking approach within their work. And we are also noticing that there is a growing professionalization, and there are some firms that are important firms that are bringing placemaking in, institutions that are bringing placemaking in. And as we are seeing a bit that the network is getting stronger. So, for instance, I give you an example. We are launching this year a hero ticket. So we are, for some companies or some business that want to sponsor are affluent, I mean, they are generating enough revenues, but their revenues might be like that they feel that they can help Placemaking Europe as an organization,
yeah,
or even that they have been helped by Placemaking Europe as an organization, they could buy one of these tickets where they actually pay 3 tickets.
Yes.
And 2 is a sponsor tickets for placemakers that really need that.
Nice.
And 1 is for them. And I think we sold 4 of those already, right?
Oh, that's so good. Great.
That is interesting that people is just also feeling that they can give back to the network, because there is something super important that, you know, that we give grants, we give free tickets for the ones that need that. It is very important for us that still Placemaking Week is a super open event for the ones that are starting their career, for the ones that are not maybe doing fantastic in terms of revenues because they are operating in more difficult environments.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to keep that together, right? Because we know that in Southern Europe, in Eastern Europe, placemaking is still more linked to activism. Mm. Maybe in Northern Europe, or it is getting more professionalized. But there is a lot to learn from each other. So don't want to lose that.
I think this is the beauty of our community, is like we learn from each other. No one figured out the game, the entire game or the entire profession. So this is the beauty when we meet each other. So we have many listeners now listening to you and wondering, okay, I'm going to travel to Placemaking Week and who I'm going to meet? Like, we know, like, okay, placemakers, but like, are they people from municipalities? Are they people from like private sector working as an architect? Professional wise, who I'm going to meet? Genders, old, seniors, juniors, activism, who?
Yes, so I was telling you that the open call was very representing very well sectors and the distribution in Europe. We'll have the fine data that we'll share probably in the following days.
Yeah.
But it's good to check back to our figures in Pontevedra, which will be quite similar, right? Mm. So the median age in Pontevedra was 37 years.
Wow.
And 6% of the participants were under 25.
Mm.
So relatively young.
Yeah.
But also a lot of people that is there with 10 or more years of experience.
Yes.
We have almost 50% of participants coming from private sector.
Mm.
So that means from small companies to big companies. Yeah. 22% are non-profits, 60% cities, and 14% academia.
Mm.
And I think that shows a very nice, because placemaking started more like as a bottom-up, sort of a private professional, either a private professional or an activist approach, but it's also like getting more and more into government, and there are more cities. I give you a couple of details about that, why more cities are interested in placemaking. And I think what we are seeing as well, it is growing interest from academia to research and to pair with placemakers to assess the impact and the value of those projects, and also obviously to systematize the knowledge and to explain what placemaking is. It is Placemaking Europe, so obviously we will expect to have around 80% of the participants coming from Europe. But we already in the open call check that we have a good representation of the world that is coming from New Zealand to Canada, Ecuador, Brazil, Middle East.
Amazing.
So as always, will be open to many participants from around the world.
Yeah.
And I think there is one, because I can tell you a bit, like we were already announcing some keynote speakers. So we have Giselle Sebak, the executive director at the International Society for Food and Health. We are very much interested and very like intensively working with them about the relationship between urban development, health, and equity.
Yeah.
We do have Thiago Mota Sarabia, which is a fantastic placemaking from Portugal. We have Theo Stauterner, that he's from the Place-Led Development Group, and he's very much like on the place-led development strategic side, how to bring placemaking into big real estate developments. And we are also, I think it's not the most important, like who are the big names, but it is more about the conversation that we are having.
Yes,
and I give you an anecdote that I think it illustrates that very well, right? Because we are also trying, like we are organizing a conference where everyone is a participant.
Yes.
So we want everyone to give as well and to share. And we are also trying to convince even the biggest names to stay and to enjoy the full festival.
Yeah.
And I have this anecdote with David Sim that I think it's quite beautiful, because
yes.
when we were last year trying to convince some big names of urban development to stay.
Yeah.
We said, okay, we can cover your cost, but yeah, we want you to stay as much as possible, mm-hmm, not just to come, talk, and then leave.
Exactly.
And then David at the end came to me and said, okay, Ramon, I'm very happy you forced me to stay longer, because the best that happened was related to the conversation I had after my talk. And obviously, so his talk was fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? But we want to foster those encounters, and that's the most important thing. You go ahead.
Yeah, and this is, I think, for me, like personally, I was there last year, and the thing I love with the Placemaking Week, of course, the people, but not only like it's not one way of information, like listening to a speaker talking all the time. I could also be part of the discussion, like sharing my experience and learn. And the most beautiful thing is that the conversation between the sessions in the city, walking around and so on, meeting so many people, now connecting like with them, and this like side conversation, like out of the session and in between the session, between the buildings. So this is so cool. Even like meeting David Sim and all other people. So for me, this is the beauty of Placemaking Week, like not only there for like few hours, no, but for days to invest in the relations, yeah, and people and the content in the city.
Yeah, I think those, like, if we nail which are the three main elements, mm, or the three main, I don't know, elements of the value proposition of our conference, like you sort of mentioned them. But I think the first one is everyone is a participant.
Yeah.
The second one is the conversations are honest.
Yes.
About the challenge, about doubts. Mm. And the third one is the city is the main panel.
Yeah.
So the main session is the city itself. And I think those three elements make it a very unique conference. Mm. Because we are also a bit of fed up to go to this conference that happened in a trade fair, not in one of these big venues, and we are there. Just isolated from the city. And there is another fourth element, but actually it relates with three of them. But I think what is interesting about Placemaking Europe is like everyone feels safe that nobody's trying to sell them constantly stuff.
Exactly.
So it is not like, here is my card. Like, can you sell it?
Exactly.
No? Like, it is not about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously that means that probably the business relationship, mm-hmm, that happened after the event might be even stronger.
Yes, yes.
It's not that we are saying, okay, do not worry. That's not the case. But it is actually a sharing environment, mm, that is not based on selling and buying.
Exactly.
It's based on sharing, obviously.
Exactly. That's why it feels like I'm going for a vacation and combining like my passion with visiting a city, meeting a new people. So this is what I like love about Placemaking Week. So this is a great answer, Ramon, about the group, the community who is going to be there. Tell me about like, what are we going to see, like what kind of sessions, tours, or like workshops? If I'm coming to Placemaking Week, what is waiting for me?
Yeah. So, as always, there is a combination of site visits, local challenges, mm, keynotes, and parallel sessions, mm, reaching from the morning till late.
Yeah.
So we do have our morning owls that go to do exercise in the morning. So we'll prepare our program of exercise in the morning. There will be the cultural program in the evening.
Yeah.
And during the day, a lot of discussions. So we are welcoming everyone on Tuesday, mm-hmm, Tuesday 26. Yes, we are welcoming everyone on Tuesday 26. So there is a full day to come and discover the city. Mm-hmm. And then they will be welcome in a formal way in the city hall.
Yeah.
With an introductory panel that will discuss what we are going to see in the following, mm-hmm, days. Then this Wednesday and Thursday, full day of conference, starting, mm-hmm, from the keynotes panels in the morning, parallel sessions to some fun in the evening. I can share with you more details. And Friday, as always, there would be the discussion of local challenges.
Yeah.
And the same that happens in Valencia and in Pontevedra, we defined the topics together with the city. Mm. So the idea is to frame the open call and the keynotes, mm, through the interest of the city and, yeah, how are they related to placemaking. So, mm, that's how we define the four main themes, which is placemaking for ecology. Mm. So how can placemaking help to achieve a Masonite balance between human culture and the natural environment. Mm. Place-led development.
Yeah.
So the place, the how can we take the principles of placemaking as use them for real estate development, an area development, or big city development? I mentioned before. So first one, obviously, like Strasbourg pictures itself as being a strong green cities is one of the capital that is pushing more for green policies. The place-led development is related particularly the port area that they are transforming, but generally also they want to know about how to do it at a scale. Third topic is placemaking for civic engagement. It's the one that got more applications. Yeah. So there is a lot of interest as always and see how can we work better with the community? How can we, because a core element of placemaking is obviously having a bottom-up approach. And the last topic related with what I was referring to about urban health is placemaking for equity.
Yes.
So how can we address systemic inequalities within urban communities? That's our general topics. And then we are playing a bit with formats, also trying to have a lot of interesting things. And yeah, maybe I can give you more details about that if you want.
Of course, yes. But did you finalize the program or not yet?
No, we are getting very close to that,
yeah.
But also we are getting last-minute inputs. We want to make the city also satisfied about the topics that we are addressing. So what we did is normally we do that way.
Yeah,
we respond to the open call, and there is a big, big effort to try to match the proposals and try to align them and put them together. And at the same time, we work on the panel and on the keynote moments,
no? Yes.
And those moments that are open to all the participants. And we curate ourselves some sessions to balance content when it's necessary, to bring our partners in, and also to make a bit of a story of the whole thing.
That's
so we are 95% done with all the parallel sessions, and I'd say we are 60% done, 70% done, probably, that's more accurate, with the keynote moments.
Amazing. Is it going to be like music, party?
So Mustafa, we didn't promote this yet in our social media. I hope the team, our team don't kill me because of that. But let me give you a couple of news that I think are interesting.
Yes.
One thing I'm very looking forward is our big collaborator, Charles Landry, is getting back to a placemaking week.
Nice.
And he promised me that he's going to share he's developing new ideas that he will be transforming probably into a new book after the creative bureaucracy one. And he's focusing his thinking on his research on what triggers change.
Okay.
And what happens sometimes there are conditions for change, but change doesn't happen. Mm. And sometimes the same conditions trigger change. And he wants to dig deeper about that. One of our main goals and organization is to making placemaking systemic, to trying to incorporate placemaking in sort of rules and structures of institutions. And we are always thinking about how transformative our projects and ideas can be. So I think it is very appropriate
to come
to that with Charles. We are also experimenting with some formats that I'm very looking forward to. So we are also trying to develop some bridges dialogues. So we are bringing, for instance, an activist to talk to a real estate developer.
Ah.
And we are bringing an innovator to talk to a civil servant, to a bureaucrat. And this is quite interesting. For instance, on the innovator side, we are bringing James Ardenast, good friend of mine,
amazing.
With him.
Amazing.
And he's a fantastic doer that has been transforming Frankfurt with his cultural projects and also operating in a very tough area that is the station area in Frankfurt, which is having terrible problems in terms of homeless, drug dealing and stuff. And he's been like an anchored entrepreneur in the area, but sometimes also facing how difficult it is to operate within a strict rule, right? And how sometimes being a placemaker is almost being against the law.
Exactly.
Right? And we are making him talk to also an amazing collaborator with Ivana D'Alessandro from the Council of Europe, which is a super, super like, interest, like her work is super interesting. She's leading the Intercultural Cities Program on the Council of Europe.
Yeah.
But also she operates within one of the most bureaucratic institutions in Europe, which is the Council of Europe. So I think it is going to be a very interesting dialogue.
Yeah.
So as we say, trying to to create sharing moments between the different pieces of placemaking. It's not one, it's not a combat. It's not one against each other.
Yeah, I understand.
But it is more about, okay, how can we talk a language that makes sense?
Exactly. Like this is look, from different conferences, what I experienced, like usually people from the same side agree about the same thing, working with the same thing, and that's it. But here we're going to put like, they're going to be friction, but more, how do we do it together? So exactly. This is the nice, not
well,
nice.
Well, how can we understand?
Yeah. Like, okay, sit together on the same table. Okay, tell me, what do you want? How can I help? And from the other side, okay, how can I make this happen together with you? So, and there in between, there's going to be friction, which is great to gonna listen to them as well.
Obviously, like we are, it is a placemaking conference, right? There is a strong self-selection mechanism, or most of the people that comes have a shared vision.
Yes.
So they want the communities to be the center of urban development.
Yeah.
They want to talk to the community better. They want to understand their needs. They understand that everyone is the expert. That means that obviously, like, we have to anchor urban development in the cultures and identities. We have to speak, or at least try to understand, the different languages. That also means being open to migrant cultures.
Yeah.
We have to be fair. I mean, there are common values.
Of course.
We also wanted to create that friction, because if we would be relying only on the general common values, then we'd end up, I think the discussion would end up being slightly superficial.
Yeah.
And we also have to acknowledge what I was saying. There are contexts in Europe where placemaking is very political. It is about, like, the community reacting to a government, a local government that is not providing what they need. And maybe in other contexts, it's more about, okay, like, we have a good welfare system, but we really don't know what to talk to the community, or what we don't know to understand anymore who is there and what do they need. So I think, like, grasping all of that, acknowledging all that diversity within the placemaking movement, it is an important duty.
So the program will be out hopefully soon, and people can go there and check, like, the different session, what they can attend, and so on, right?
We are still selling tickets. I think if someone is thinking, I wasn't on time to send the proposal for the application, they shouldn't worry. Still plenty of things, plenty of moments to participate.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of workshops that are open. There are moments to present their ideas.
Yeah.
So don't worry. So as I said, everyone is a participant. So we'll be selling tickets in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
It is going very well.
That's great to hear.
That means that we'll be getting close to sold out.
Yeah. Then.
Because we do have also to balance the local attendees and the international attendees. And we also, because, I mean, the conference is also designed in a way that everyone reasonably could talk to 60% of the others participants, not being obsessed with networking, but just in a spontaneous way.
Yeah,
and that means that we don't want to grow more than 500 participants. That will be, the sold out will be around 500 participants.
Now, I think it's important with the scale, because in some conferences I felt alone, you know, when it's like a huge number of people, when we end up, like, it's really hard to get to know, like, enough people or to mingle with enough people. So I think the scale is important. And for the listener, I will put also, like, the link, so you can purchase your ticket, and the link to the website. So when the program will be online, you can check it. So these are the points when it comes to the content. Tell me, like, about the hotels, food, the transportation. So when I will be there, what can I eat? How can I go from one venue to other venue? Like, all these logistical things. Water.
We've had fantastic food in Salzburg, I must say. The three times that we've been visiting. It's very interesting, the Alsatian food, because there is, like, strong connections as well with Germany. So they have super good spätzle and meats, cordon bleu. It's like a lot of, like, good quality meaty food, but also, like, the city is very diverse, so you can find food from all around. So there are strong communities of migrants. We got fantastic food from Mauritius, for instance. Wow. Mauritius, like the island of Mauritius. It was like African Asian food that was probably obviously African, but a strong connection with Asia as well. And it was super, super tasty. Mm-hmm. We also had fantastic Middle East food in a in a restaurant. So that's going to be don't worry about that. I think the city is tiny. It's tiny enough and well connected that what I recommend is getting a 4 days pass on the tram on public transport, which is super efficient.
Yeah.
The main venues are not very central, but still makes sense to stay very centrally and we can and moving around. Obviously, renting a bike was fantastic. Mm. Bike lakes are great. So I'd say like people can stay whenever, wherever in the city that it will work.
Yeah.
We also, for us, it was the only thing that we were quite strict is to organize a placemaking week in a week that was not Parliament Week of the European Union, but when there is Parliament Week, the hotels are sold out and more expensive. But this is not Parliament Week. So there is enough the layers of like from fancy hotels to very affordable hostels. Mm. So there are a lot of options.
Nice.
And I can share a bit of the venue as well, which I think it is important.
Yeah.
So we are having two main menus. Mm. The one is a Fair Citadel, which is a former port industrial area. So there is a shed. It has been transformed in a cultural space. It has this industrial vibe.
Wow.
And it is a strong player in the local cultural community already in Strasbourg, and it will act as a main venue. So this is where our 500 people will be, also like where the some drinks and things on the evening. And next to that, we are also working in a social and entrepreneurial space, which is called Kaleidoscope, also a co-working place. They have a social shop that sells like from art to secondhand clothes, and it has a very nice cafe. Both will be offered local food. I've heard, I haven't tried
Tell
it,
me.
But apparently the fries from Fair Citadel are the best in town. So if anyone is into fries, apparently like French fries there are great.
Yeah.
And we'll be, so it will take a bit of a different shape of Pontevedra. Pontevedra was completely embedded in the city center. Here we are more in the port area. More localized, a bit similar to what happened in Valencia, but there will be enough time to explore the city.
Amazing. That's so cool. So, from my side, like I was, how to say, tickets, how to go there, what is waiting for me, whom I'm going to meet, food, important as well. I love
getting to there. We will recommend train, obviously. It's very well connected, like from Frankfurt to Paris, like by train. Obviously, there are a couple of airports that can work as well. There is Strasbourg Airport. There is also Karlsruhe Baden-Baden Airport, which is connected by some low-cost airlines. Basel can work. Frankfurt can work.
Nice.
But we obviously will always recommend for the most sustainable option.
Yes.
And as we always say, like try to be there a couple of more days, because I think like the city and the region is... it's worth the exploration.
Yeah, I think like in the last year, like in Pontevedra, we also people stayed like two more days just to enjoy the region and the city. So yeah, there are going to be people staying more than the placemaking week, which is amazing. So Ramon, like two questions I want to hear from you. What is the most interesting thing for you when it comes to planning the event, the week, and what is the most interesting thing for you during the week, to Ramon?
Yeah, actually, as I told you, this is the third time that I play like a leading role in organizing the conference. I think Pontevedra was managing fully, and as I said, in Valencia, was the host, and I kind of enjoy the rhythm of doing that. Mm. For me, the most interesting thing is connecting the dots between the stories and trying to make a full storytelling and also saying like which are the gaps and how can, because last year, for instance, if you remember keynotes and also all the events that we had in the open space, that we also will have an open night in the city center of Strasbourg this year. And also the events on the evening will be in the main venue, but will be open for everyone. But like curating the content of all of that is very, very like We do a lot of work actually to generate like the outline of each session, to brief the moderator, and I find it highly, highly enjoyable. Mm. So I'm really, really, really enjoying to do that. And as I said, like creating the story, also playing with formats, because we also try to be, obviously it's the same kind of conference, but trying to innovate a bit. I told you about the dialogues between innovator and bureaucrat, between activist and real estate developer. Also, like on the fun side this year, I'm very looking forward to our PowerPoint karaoke that we are doing. So have you heard about PowerPoint karaoke?
No, tell
karaoke?
Me. Tell me, what is it?
So actually, like we are doing one evening a contest about like a sort of pecha kucha keynotes, pecha kucha speech.
Yeah.
But the whoever wants to be part of the contest won't know which will be the slides. So the slide will be curated by the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And there will be like switching automatically like a pecha kucha, but each participant have to improvise a placemaking talk on top of the slides that they don't know.
This should be...
And we will have a fantastic jury. Charles already told me that he's going to be on the jury, but like, it is going to be a bit like one of these ballroom events.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like they will be given points like 10, 8, 7.
This is so funny.
So we will give an award to the best speaker.
Yeah, yeah.
On top of slides that they have no idea.
This is so funny. It's going to be super funny.
Yeah, and obviously that would be like a moment on the day that people will be like after dinner, like drinking a bit.
Yeah.
We are also preparing an interactive session about the state of the community. I was asking you about how people is doing and which kind of companies are they working? Are they doing well financially? But instead of doing it with a survey, we are going to do a collective workshop between the 500 of us, playing with Mentimeter and other tools and trying to respond to the questions.
Cool.
At the same time. So as I said, Lou, I think like the main thing is keeping the essence of the event, adapting to the city and what it needs in terms of content and location, and also innovating a bit in terms of format, because we don't want to be in the same conference every time.
No. So this is like the most interesting thing when you plan the event. Mm-hmm. And what is the interesting happening for you during the event, like based on the previous? What is the thing
I feel a bit privileged about that, because I know many friends and colleagues that are very stressed when they organize their conference.
Yeah.
And I think here, obviously, like I want to acknowledge and thank our great team that is doing fantastic part of the work. And we are all super busy before the event and during the event. But like Marta, our partnerships lead, Marta Popiola, she's great. Lauren, which is our events
amazing.
Lead, which is taking a big responsibility as well. We have our interns now. We have Antonio, Stefania. We have our board. So Hans, Vivian, Laska, Frederick Levente. We also Lisette, my co-director. So I mean, there is a strong team there, and also we are supported by externals like Jesus, which is working on production. We have Maria, our videographer. So there is a team that already worked together in the last edition of Placemaking Week. And I mean thanks for that and for their work, but I feel very privileged that I do enjoy my event.
Nice.
So I mean, like there is some time that I see other people that I said that stressed, they are organizing and they're super stressed. They are not enjoying, they are not listening. And obviously I'm stressed and obviously I'm sleep deprived a bit, but still like I always find, or at least it happened both in Pontevedra and Valencia, enough time to listen and enough time to learn and engage with people. So I enjoy to be a participant as well.
That's amazing.
And then always react to things that I don't know, like who is doing that we didn't plan. Yeah. I remember last year in Pontevedra that I had to play like the microphone role, like no, like God voice telling guys, in 5 minutes we are starting again in, like in the other state. So I mean that was just last minute reaction because we didn't plan who was going to do that. And obviously we have to be there to do that. But I think that it's important that our team, it's also not only like doing logistics and productions, but also participating in the event.
That's lovely. And I'm 100% sure, or 200% sure, that this week is going to be amazing, just like your previous, but even more. So shout out to you and to the team. They are, like, how to say, really really fast in answering, good, clear in communication. So really shout out to the people behind all this amazing week. And hopefully like all of you going to enjoy it as well when you're going to see like 500 people being there, talking with each other, like sharing stories. So good job, really. Like I'm always amazed by the work you
and
do.
And we have to agree that the winner of the PowerPoint Karaoke is coming as a,
yeah.
a participant of the Urbanistica podcast, right?
Of course. Yes, of course. So Ramon, last words, what is like waiting for you now? What are you going to do until the week?
I think there is a lot of work already in terms of planning.
Yeah.
I'm also visiting Helsinki, which is our partner, mm-hmm. one of our partner cities. I'm traveling there on the 28th.
Yes.
And next to, because Placemaking Europe is not only Placemaking Week, so it is our main event, but we still do a lot of work in terms of systematizing and sharing knowledge through our toolbox, through the European projects that we participate in. But there is also a particular project that we developed and started this year, which is very important for us, which is the CTC Placemaking Program. So we have now 14 European cities that are our partners, and we are working with them, and each of them appointing the group of multidisciplinary group of civil servants. So we have parties like more or less 3 or 4 per city, but we have participants that are coming from landscaping, from planning, from safety, from economic development. But it's what we are doing with them is trying to figure out together how to embed, how to incorporate this making within the urban development strategies and policies. And this is a very fun and interesting and stimulating project. And we are also trying to visit each of our partner cities. So we'll be there, Hans, myself and Marta will be visiting Helsinki the last week of August.
Nice. Welcome to Scandinavia.
Looking forward to be there and just run away from the heat.
Then it's the perfect to be here. So Ramon, thank you so much for giving your time to record this episode, and my greetings to the team, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mustafa. Big pleasure to talk to you as always.